KI-4 VWA mobile.
VWA is KI-4 WHG. My name here is Joey.
This is Steve, and I am mobiling it towards Spartanburg from Inman. Where are you?
418 from Fountain Inn towards the Williamson and Pilsner area.
Okay. Yeah, I used to have some family that lived there in Williamson. Long time ago, a different millennium. Tell me something. Maybe you know. How far down towards Edgefield do you get service on the repeater?
Not sure. I had a hard time getting into the 6-1 repeater at the house. Now, I can get into 8-2, but the others, there's a lot of, I live right in town, so it's tough getting through all the noise and stuff that's in town.
Well, and plus, I'm not positive, but that you might be in the shadow of 6-1 with 8-2 on top of Paris Mountain. Isn't that Paris Mountain?
Paris Mountain. Yeah, I can get up. You know, it's most of the way home. I've got like a S-9 level on the repeater on 6-1. As soon as I start, you know, getting past Ware Place in the Pilsner area, it drops off way bad. It used to not be that bad, but because I lived in Pilsner for a while, but I had a 13 element beam when I was talking, you know, up that way then, so that helped a lot.
And I don't know if you've heard, but you know they've got plans to link up one of the repeaters up on top of Paris Mountain with 6-1.
I did that not long ago.
Yeah, it was up on a temporary basis from what I understand, and they're making their adjustments, and they're going to put the permanent deal up there pretty soon.
I can get in. I can probably get into the one on Paris Mountain, but I don't think I can get into the 6-1 from home to check into that or anything.
Come up. That'll put you out there really good.
Antenna from the. I've got a base station, but I don't have a good antenna right now.
I recommend an antenna to you. Diamond 50XA or X50A. That thing, I've got one up on a little building. I've got it about 8 or 10 feet off the ground. And I can hit about everything around. Mount Mitchell, I mean, I can hit them all.
And now, that's what I'm talking on right now. It's made for the Yaesu ST8900. It's a quad band, but it does real good on 2 meters and 440.
You on a Yaesu 8900 now?
97 right now.
Oh, man. Well, let me tell you what. I've got that 8900 and that identical same antenna in my Dodge 2500 diesel. And, man, that jewel gets out.
900 in my Jeep, but I've been wanting an A57 for a while, so I went ahead and bought one.
Start doing some HF from your vehicle?
Wow, I'm bad about it. I get into the hobby and then I get out of it, I get into it and then I get out of it, but you know, I got some, I did a few contacts. I listened at lunchtime to see if there's anybody contesting or anything, and I made a contact on the, I've got the ATOS 120, and I made contact with a guy up in Nova Scotia at lunchtime one day.
What band was that, 20 or 40? Yep. Yeah, here not too long ago, I was on, I believe it was 40, and I talked to a guy. I was running 100 watts off of a Comet antenna, and I hit Vancouver Island, British Columbia, man. And with propagation the way it is right now, I was thrilled to death.
It was that too. It was over the summer. It's bit up and down, but it was a pretty good day that day.
We catch them like that every now and then. What's that old saying? Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
This thing so far, only thing is I'm going to have to buy a new screen for it. I bought it used from HRO out of California. And it's got that zebra stripe now, so I'll have to buy a new screen when I get a chance.
Try to put the display in it yourself?
That's not too hard. KI4WHDID.
I just bought a 991A, and I'm getting into that spot now where I got everything under warranty. I'm thinking I'll just send it back.
And you, though, but I can't beat you. You can't beat what I got it for. Last year when I was looking at them, they were still running around, $700-$800 new, or really used on eBay. I found this one at HRO out of California for $400.
Just ordered a LDG 1,000-watt automatic tuner for my new 991 radio. And I tell you something, I am cheap. And I check Amazon, I check everywhere. And I'll tell you, HRO, that's who I got it from out of Atlanta. They had it in stock in Atlanta, so it'll be here tomorrow. Man, there. Ain't nobody beating them out right now.
I've heard they'll deal with you on a lot of stuff, too.
Yep. Well, Bo, I've destinated. I'm over here in Spartanburg, and I got to run in and take my wife into something, into her office. So I'm gonna jump off here. I enjoyed the conversation. I'll say 73s, and let's hit each other again pretty soon. It's KN4, VWA, clear after your final.
All right, good talking to you, too. I need to get back on here a little more. I'll say 73 to you, too, and I'll try to chat with you another day. It's KI4WHD. I'll be clear.
For NGU, KN4VWA.
UKB4CPA.
Oh, what's happening, Dave?
Genesis happening.
Well, jump on in there. Now, you got a clinic or you got a game?
Tonight in the bubble, and I always enjoy them, and it's a good workout, and usually learn something, so it's a win-win-win.
Saw something about 3 or 4 days ago, and it was where this guy had made a tennis shot, and the ball was hit cross court, real short, and he managed to dive for it and just tap the ball back onto the return, but it did not stay within the confines of the posts. And I thought it had to stay within the confines of the posts to count, but he tapped it around the post down low before it hit the ground, and it went onto that guy's side of the court, and he got the points. I didn't think he could do that.
I can really picture exactly what you're describing. I mean, you can, if somebody hits the ball deep in the corner on the baseline, right into the corner, and let me take that back. If they hit it at an angle and you're running, you have to run off the court to hit it, and you hit it back and it lands in their their corner there, it doesn't physically cross the net, but it has to be high enough to clear the net. It's my understanding that point counts, because I've seen that done, and you know, when the pros are playing.
Sit down. This guy was on his far right-hand side of the court, and he hit it just barely over the net, cross-court, going out. And this guy managed to get up to almost to the net and tap it around the side of the post and back onto his side of the court. And it was not as high as the net, but it still counted as a point.
No, I've never seen that done. So I don't know. I'll just go inside and ask the pro. See what she says. Or maybe I'll ask Siri. Or Siri. Sometimes Siri's dumb as a rock. And sometimes I tell her that. She says that's not very nice. But anyway, I'm going to go in. I'm here early. I want to go in and warm my knee up. Well, especially my left knee. Of course, I'll be warming them both up, but especially the left knee, and get it, you know, warmed up so it'll be ready to go, 6 o'clock.
Like a winner, Bo. Well, you have fun at it, and knock them out tonight. Learn something good. All right, well, 73 is KN4 VWA monitoring, and I'm clear.
Always a pleasure. And try to behave yourself. KN4 VWA, KP4 CBA Mobile, clear.
Good to see you at the club meeting, David. Hope you come back more often, W4NGU.
That's nice to be seen, not viewed.
What's happening, Phil?
I'm no rules expert, Steve, but I think if a guy were to, you know, slam it hard down and it would have bounced way high and you had to run, you know, way over and there wasn't an obstruction where you could run way over, I think you can be practically, you can't be more forward than the net, but I think you can be way off to the side and hit it, and if it goes back in his court, that it counts. That's just my understanding, or the way I've always played it.
Really play, and I just saw that, and for me it was a curiosity. So hey, what was that you sent me today? Is that another repair option?
What up, did you?
Well, it went over to a website.
A radio to be fixed.
A website for somewhere out in Texas.
Text carefully. The second one I sent said sorry and gave the correct website, and it went to where you left your radio.
Oh, I didn't see the second one yet. Okay. Well, there we go. Now the pertinence comes out. I hope you're not going anywhere near 85.
I sent the second text about 6 seconds after the first one. You should have got them both. No, I'm not going to be near 85. What is it, a big parking lot?
85 going out of Spartanburg certainly is, and it looks like it's like that all the way out to regular 85. And it looks like even a mess from there on out from there, too.
Let's hope Greenville doesn't get like Atlanta. It's worse than Atlanta.
Don't you? Because our good legislators all want to spend all the road money in Columbia or along the coast. We don't get any road money up here, hardly.
It appears down there somewhere. But where my parents live was way out in the country in 73, and now look at it.
Good place to grow up, too, wasn't it?
It was a lot of fun.
Never came over to the pool much.
Times. But I didn't live down there, that's for sure.
Until till I was about 14 years old, man. Shoot, every summer I couldn't wait to get down to the pool. Play baseball, swim at the pool, ride my motor scooter. As long as I had food and those three things, I was a happy boy.
Well, you're talking about Wellington. I'm talking about Roper, where they live now. That lot was in the middle of nowhere. He picked it out and built that house.
He built that house in 73?
Yep. Sure did.
How about that? I didn't know they'd been out there that long.
For about $75,000, can you believe that?
Bill, $75,000 then is $750 now, because you just add a zero to it, and it's about what you got.
I'm an inflation calculator. I was looking at a video on YouTube today, on Facebook. It was about Rockefeller and his wealth and how he made it from the time he was a teenager. And it said that in today's money, when he died, I forget the year now, but he was estimated to be worth $402 billion.
Well, it's a good gig if you can get it. But I am comfortable. I'm happy with what I got. And, you know, I am who I am. And I've seen situations like that. And I'm going to tell you something, bud. Money changes people. Hey, what's that Popeye used to say? I am what I am, but I ain't going to change.
Change people, but I'd love to have a lot more of it because I'm a giver, and I'd do that on a big scale if I had more than I got. But I never will forget when I was on the staff at a church in Simpsonville, and pastor was on vacation in Wisconsin or somewhere. There wasn't no way he could get back for a funeral, and I had to do the funeral, and never will forget, they were in the back bedroom fussing and grabbing for the man's wallet while he was at the funeral home, laid out. And he wasn't even buried, and they were fussing about the dollar bills in his wallet.
I just categorize that kind of people as, in nature, there are vultures.
Was building houses, a general contractor. I remember I had three brothers in a room. We were trying to sign a contract, and they got in a fist fight. And I started screaming. It scared me to death. It's a wonder they didn't beat me up. But I said, you guys want to sell this land or not? And I said, sit down, let's quit acting like kids. And it scared me. I didn't know I had it in me.
Sometimes, for the benefit of others, you've got to take command of a situation.
It's only the land, and they'd already agreed on the price. They just, I don't think they got along in general was the problem.
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. My mama was as fine a woman as ever walked the face of the earth, but she loved to talk. She would talk to Scott, my brother, about all kinds of stuff, including what I was doing. And then she talked to me about what he was doing. And, from time to time, it really didn't do too well. And now, over the last two or three years that Ma's been gone, I'll tell you something, I've got a brother again. He and I talk directly to each other, and we just get along great. I mean, we got through the estate process. It was just the way it should have been. And I'm proud of him. I'm glad to call him my brother.
Observe that firsthand, because when he's called you, you don't even tell. He's on speakerphone. You don't even tell him I'm there. And if you were afraid of him starting to cuss at you or something, you would say, hey, you're on speakerphone. I got somebody with me.
Listen, I tell you what. calls me up just to jabber from time to time now, probably once every couple of weeks. Matter of fact, I need to call him, see, you know, just to give him a hard time. But no, see, for people like me, I cannot understand the vultures. You know, it's just incomprehensible to me. I don't know. I don't understand it.
I understand. Well, on your tower base, I was thinking about it today. In retrospect, would you have mounted the tower a few inches closer to the ears that hold the pivot?
No, absolutely not. Because, see, what that does is when I'm ready to let this thing go, that tower is still going to have a couple of hundred pounds of its own weight standing straight up and down, and I'm not going to be worried about a little puff of wind coming along and pushing it over. That tower is not going to come over until I attach a rope to it and bring it over. You know what I mean? That gives it extra stability.
And you're going to build that trellis and keep it the maximum horizontal travel at a minimum, right?
Is to catch the tower as it comes down with my John Deere at the bucket or the forks at the highest excursion. Then I'll just simply, you know, let the tower down with the John Deere down to its little trellis, or down to its what I call a stiff knee, down to its support post. And that way, it is completely controlled all the way down.
Which work in reverse?
Power in.
Catch it with a tractor. Why don't you just let it down onto the knee?
At a certain point, the fulcrum, you'd have to be up another 15, 20 feet to get the fulcrum up high enough to where that winch would be in full control. See, once you get past about 30 degrees on the tower, now I take that back, about 20, 25 degrees on the tower, that winch is going to be working 10 times as hard. And you do not have that good a control. Because the catch line that you attach to the two points on the tower is almost horizontal.
And that principle, but my next question is, what am I going to do? I don't have a John Deere to catch it with.
You do have a two-story house. Two-story building out there. And what you could do is just simply attach your winch up at the second story with adequate reinforcement up there. You can let that thing down as far as you need to.
I don't need an I-beam, do I?
Necessarily. But the long and the short of it, in your case, I think that's what I would do, Phil.
Let's talk about it a little bit later off the air. I'm going to go ahead and get this free I-beam and collect parts for future use. I'm not going to pass that up. Is 10 feet still the optimal length that I want?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, if we set that post the right way, I think that you could probably lay that tower down all the way down to the 50, you know, because we could set it closer with yours. See, mine is much heavier tower, and it's heavier. Yours is much lighter. And, hey, I think we could probably set yours up to where you could just lay it all the way down with a 7-foot fulcrum and a winch.
Well, I don't know if you commented or if I forgot what you said, but you know, the one we went to see in North Carolina was a lot more than 7 feet, and that really helps on leverage. So I need to get your thoughts on that, too.
Well, you got to remember, how tall was that tower up there, Phil?
I'm just trying to make mine to where it doesn't grunt too hard.
I agree. And it's all specific application, for specific location, and you know, exactly how you're going to set it up on that spot. And that's how you work it out from one of those, okay? So we'll look at it when we get to that. When you're about ready to do it, we'll look at it. But now, you do know now that that's 7 feet out of the ground on my I-beam, okay? Oh, and I got the control box for the winch all fixed up and finished today. I got it in a little waterproof case. And got the lines running in and out of it, and all I do is walk up and plug in the hand control and go to work.
Block and tackle.
Here was somebody. Say it again.
Tackle.
Who's this?
Hey.
Well, if you set your fulcrum up right and you got a 3,500-pound winch, you don't need a block and tackle for a 50-foot tower.
You'd be surprised.
Bob, is that better economy on producing power than just a more powerful winch?
The more powerful winch, in many cases, and I won't carve this in stone, but a more powerful winch, it's really got to do with getting the tower up the first one-third of the way. That's where the block and tackle comes into play. Because I had a small winch, and I went to a winch twice as big, and it still didn't want to pull it because it's getting that initial, all that weight, 50 foot, 60 foot, whatever, the beam, mast, rotor, all that weight at the end, it's dead weight. Once you get it past about a third of the way, well, then it's a different story. But getting it going and getting it up is the key.
Bill, do you remember what I said about 25 to 30 degrees? One-third of 90 degrees is 30 degrees, and my tower will never come down past that 25, right around that 25 to 30 degree mark.
I know. Well, you know, right at that area is what I've been concerned with all the time. How you doing, Bob? ND7J, WD4NGU.
I'm doing good, and bringing the tower down to that 30 degree point and resting it on a support is a big help, but still, when you're trying to get that initial weight moving, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't spend a little bit of extra time and money and put a block and tackle on it, just to make life easier. And trust me, I've done this. I've lowered mine. With one beam, with two beams, I've done it. And I know from experience, what you say is true. If you're only going to lower it down two-thirds of the way, that's huge. But you still got to get it moving.
Bob, how tall off the ground is your winch?
How is what?
The winch.
The pole is 20 feet. There's 6 feet in the ground. And then the winch is probably 4 or 5 feet off the ground, but then the cable goes up over a pulley through a block and tackle system, and then it's hooked to 2 points on the tower.
Right, it goes on up way above the winch. That's right. Well, how tall is the top of it before it turns right angle to off the ground to the tower?
Bill.
Point on your beam.
He's asking about the fulcrum point for pull.
When my tower is a 60-foot tower, there's 15 feet of mast. The first beam is right at 60 feet. The second beam is at about 70 feet. And there's 3 or 4 feet of mast above that. So I'm not really sure. I just know that when that beam and that tower and everything was sitting on that support that I have with my 2,500-pound winch, it wouldn't move it. It didn't even move it. And when I put a 3,500-pound winch on it, it lifted it up about a foot and stopped. It wouldn't go no more. When I put the block and tackle on it, it pulled it up like nobody's business.
Off the ground is the block and tackle. I'm trying to determine how high is that steel support that your winch is mounted on, but the block and tackle is above it. How tall is that above ground?
Okay, so you got 20 feet of winch pull, and you have about 6 feet in the ground. The winch itself is mounted to that winch pull about roughly 4 feet off the ground. The cable from the winch goes all the way to the top of that winch pull over a pulley, and then it comes, which the pulley's at, which would be about 15, 16 feet up off the ground. So that cable goes up over the pulley, and then it goes out through the back block and tackle, back through another block, and then back again. Okay? And then off of that second block, there's a cable that goes to at about 50 feet and then at about 30 feet. So it's pulling, that block and tackle is pulling at two points on the tower. Mainly it's pulling at about 30 feet, but the top cable, which also rides on a pulley, is being supported by a cable. You were here, you looked at it, I can send you pictures of it. Okay, the block and tackle is about a $100 investment, okay, and it makes life and makes work on your winch. It divides it in half. It divides everything in half.
Just didn't remember how tall the pole was.
Around about 14 feet. And the block and the cable goes up over a pulley that's actually part of the winch, part of the winch pole. There's a pulley attached to the top that it's built right in. So the cable goes up and over that pulley. Then it goes through two blocks. It goes up, over through a block, back to a block, through the block, and then back over and is connected to it. Off of that second block is another short cable with a pulley on it. That cable is hooked to the tower at 30 feet and at about 50 feet. So as the tower is coming up, that winch point off of the second block is actually moving. So it is constantly supporting the top part of the tower and pulling at about the middle or so of the tower.
You make one, Steve.
I'm not setting my winch down at the bottom, 4 feet off the ground. My winch is going to be at the top of that pole. And with that pulley, from the bottom of the pole up over the top and then back down towards the tower, that increases the force required drastically. I'm not doing that. My winch is going to be at the very top of the pole, direct pull. So I'm not going to have a force multiplier there. So we'll just have to wait and see how my winch does. You know, 3,500 pound, it should do the trick.
Better have a backstay going off the top of that pole back to an anchor point.
Sounds like you've got some competition on Rebecca down there in Simpsonville. I tell you, she's giving you a fit, isn't she?
She ain't giving me a fit. She's just spending a lot of time in the chair, and she's a good operator, without a doubt. But she's got a little more time recently than I do, but that's not an excuse. She's just spending time and working DX.
Well, she got in there and got that thing done, didn't she?
Yeah, 7 or 8 days. It took Dick, I think, 11, and it took me 12. I couldn't find any more DX. I just couldn't find it. If it would have been there, of course, I guess when I was on the air, it wasn't there, but I couldn't find any more. It just took a little while. But in regards to the winch pole, I don't think there's any absolute right way to do it. I think that there's many ways to do it. But I also know that the bigger winch is not always going to be the end result that you're looking for, because I've already done that. I already went up to a 3,500-pound winch, and it still wouldn't pull my tower up.
Well, good to hear from you, Bob, and Steve, too. And I'm pulling in the driveway, so you guys have a good evening, and we'll talk to you further down the log, W4NGU.
You know, you guys have a good one. Phil, Steve, everybody, we'll talk to you later. I'm actually watching a movie here, so I just thought I'd chime in. But like I said, I see no reason not to spend an extra $100 and put a couple of blocks on there and reduce everything. And mounting the winch at the very top of the pole almost seems, I don't know, I think I'd rather have my winch closer to the pole, so if I had to do some work on it, I don't have to deal with that. But to each his own. Everybody's got their own way, and there is really no right way.
Phil, before you go, I did a test on that SWR on that D4 today. Not good. Gonna have to do a lot of tuning.
So just read both instruction manuals, the meter and the antenna. We'll get it. Now, how far off the ground were you when you were trying to do that?
Well, these were just samples today. I did it at about 5 feet off the ground, and then at about 6 or 7 feet off the ground, and it ran around 6 or 7. No, not 6 or 7. 5 or 6, I believe. Pretty much across the scale.
It'll go down when you raise the antenna up, but it's not going to go down that much. It sounds like you got a lot of tuning to do.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to tell Phil. So anyhow, when we do that thing, I imagine we're going to have to raise that tower up down several times, Phil.
A piece of mast or even a 15-foot piece of fence post?
Phone call, Bob. Well, I'm gonna sign off, and we'll see y'all later. We'll work it out, and man, he is over-engineered in a lot of ways. I'll tell you, I don't know if you've seen pictures of what he's done so far, but it's incredible. W4NGU.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, if he can take that, I think that's the dipole or the rotatable dipole. If he can probably get that 15 feet off the ground, he won't have to raise and lower the tower. If he can just put it on a piece of galvanized fence post 12, 15 feet off the ground and get it somewhere in the 1.6, 1.78 range. By the time he puts it up at the top of the tower, it'll probably be pretty close to perfect.
I'll talk to you later.
If you do something there on yours, let me know. I'm happy to help, or Steve probably can engineer it for you, but it's up to y'all, however you want to do it. I'm sure it'll stand up at one point in time. 73 NT7J.
Okay, see you, Bob.